Just when I thought Neil De Beer and I would have nothing to talk about this Sunday, we've had a hell of a week in South African politics. Welcome to Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, for his weekly show with Biz News. Morning, Neil. How are you?
Well, this South Africa is a gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, you can't stop it. So firstly, may I say, trifecta, hurrah, South Africa. Proteas did it. They won. Springboks, Boka, they won. And Trikas, Du Plessis told the world how a cook system looks like. And at the end of the day, hulle weet nog steeds nie bladdie wat ons weet nie. So trifecta, South Africa. How can a person not smile at the end of the day?
Quite, but let me take you to the once glorious city of Johannesburg, now in serious decay. What is your take on what happened there this week, Neil?
You know, in Afrikaans, I'm going to struggle putting it in English. I'm going to say, when you, as jy dom, astrand, en arrogant raak. I don't know how we do that. Dumb, arrogant, and obnoxious. My grandmother said, as jy dom, astrand, en arrogant raak, gaan jy val. And I'm sorry, this is what happened this week in Joburg Metro, when they elected Dada Morero with a vote of 189 and the DA 60. Something went wrong. And I'll tell you what went wrong. Once again, the DA, for whatever the reason may be, decided to go against every norm of the newfound era of coalition. What is more a mishap in this matter is that the DA in the national GNU, with the ANC as an embedded coalition partner, self-agreed by them, did not go to the ANC at Joburg level and said, can we not duplicate what we're doing on the national level? They absolutely refused. Then muted their own candidate, who was dead in the water from the beginning. And now they lost. And what we said to the people was, this will not be just a pro-Dada Morero vote. It will be an anti-previous mayor vote, because we all agree this was a clown without the confirmation of a circus. I'm blatant. He meant nothing. So we have a new mayor. The bad thing to me is that he's put some of the old cronies back in again. I think that is just the awarding as cronies do. But the hope, Chris, is that when we have this mayor, where the majority, an overwhelming majority, voted now to get stability in the city, can get support. If there's a metro that needs stability, it is Joburg Metro, the once Igoli of this country. So we hope that we can perform on certain levels, but very dumbstruck about Dada removing the Da. And I'm sorry to tell you, I think it's going to spread in the next door neighbor of Tshwane, if rumors are true.
I've heard the same rumor, Neil. It seems that the Freedom Front Plus and Action SA now trust the ANC more than the Democratic Alliance. And I have an idea that Action A is heading for Tshwane to ask
the DA. Well, it would be a great pity. May I say on this matter? And I know what I'm talking about. I would find it a sad moment if Celia Brink had to be removed. I am an undisputed fan. I know the man. I've met him. He is a solid, solid leader and has only the best intent for Tshwane. I had the privilege of a coffee with him and his people, and I found him extraordinary, may I say, bright. It will therefore be a loss, though, if they remove the DA and lose the mayor. But be that as it may, what is really unfolding, we spoke about Cape Town, the DA Freedom Front Plus. I now hear rumblings on the drum that Dr. Corne Mulder is asking the DA to go to mediation. So I understand from certain outlets that there is a willingness from the Freedom Front Plus in the Western Cape to get a outside independent arbitrator to sit and see if they can patch up these wounds. But two have already folded. Langeberg has gone. Mm-hmm. Oudtshoorn is gone. And if they don't stop this, you will see these small implosions as you said, where you are looking at places where the Freedom Front, Action SA, and ALC, and funny enough, that is half of the MPC, and the other progressive side. So watch this space. There's going to be a hell of a week on ourselves coming, and the domestic politics is just going to get worse.
Well, I think the biggest shock of the week was Deputy Economic Freedom Fighters leader Floyd Shivambu defecting to MK. What do you make of that? Is defection the right word?
Nico Floyd Shivambu. I always say the only time they use all your names is at your funeral or when you're getting baptized. Well, his name is Nico Floyd Shivambu. Albertus Cornelius de Beer. Wait for that front page.
I'm not joining in there. Go on.
So it'll be interesting. Now, found a member of the EFF in 2013. But the interesting stuff is you're always going to go back to the roots. Chris, I always say, but they more plant a pampun and you get an avocado. We always seem to go not back to the roots. What you planted in the outcome doesn't always appear. So I want to go back to the roots so that we absolutely understand the effect this will have. When in 2013, Julius Malema was expelled as the president of the Youth League and abruptly left, it must be clear that Floyd Shivambu, who was on the NEC of that Youth League, was not expelled. He left on his own accord to follow Julius. This is vital to understand on the principle of loyalty, of the so-called bromance, this broship, those two in specifically. The other one was Romola, the ex-minister of justice, now international affairs. Those were the three main pinnacle guys that people don't know were in the NEC of the ANC Youth League. So this comes from 11 years ago. And that's why Julius says this is a person who's resigning from himself. We've got to dissect the letter. There are 4 points in that letter that are tick boxes to say, iridum marxia. This, in the face of Julius, when you look at his body language, which I am a specialist in, coming from where I come in intelligence, I look at your body language. There are about 12 points on a person's body that predict certain matters of fear, excitement, sadness, surrender. I looked at that. My analysis, and I might be wrong because now we're going to ask the prophet to be here, and I don't always get it wrong, but my current analysis, Ais Murtu, when I looked at that man, there is no way that he was managing an event that was staged. I think he was really shocked. His statement that saying that when he got the letter from Nico Floyd Shivambu, it was like the same when he got the message of the passing of his mother. Secondly, that he said that this is a founder of this. Thirdly, he said that if he ever wanted to come back, he may. And fourthly, that he will always remain his brother. These are things in Floyd's letter and then the rebuff from Julius that makes me think this was really a mutation and a surprise. Now, the ramification from this is that Manyi also left. And in Julius's submission, he said, and don't be surprised that there will be another few because of the loyalty to the deputy president. Now, Chris, my analysis, they don't get on. There's been power struggle. There's been many times that Julius has treated him with contempt. And there's places where we know at the end of this year, it is the EFF conference. And I'm telling you now, Julius, although being sad, although maybe being shocked, is sighing with relief because he doesn't have a probability that Floyd was going to challenge him at the end of the year. The failure of Floyd to bring votes as what he was instructed in KZN is another matter. And undoubtedly, and this is true, the VBS matter is not going away. And if you unpack the VBS accusation, Floyd and his brother are the main contenders on the basis that are under huge spotlight for taking the money. take all of this, no wonder the move was that he would move to now, which seems to be a formulation in MK of a cabal of people that currently face charges, have been charged, and are absolutely unethical. And that is the standpoint. What is going to be interesting is that Malema said he will not be replacing any person within the deputy presidentship until the conference. Power struggle, mutation of challenges, absolute degradation of their relationship, and who knows what MK promised him.
Now, there's much speculation about that, vice presidency, et cetera, but we'll have to see.
Sorry, just plugging in. Chris, yeah, I think one interesting fact is I'd like to read the following names. Jacob Zuma, Brian Molefe, Mandling Dita, Siyabonga Gama, Floyd Chibambu, Dr. John Slope, Lucky Montana, and Mr. Money. If you had to have the 10 most unscrupulous, accused people that harmed this country on all levels of state capture, SOE collapse, and debatably the country's collapse, that's your most 10 wanted poster right there. And what we are seeing is that there is no doubt the precursor of the 15 members of parliament to be unsworn out of the MK seats. And we are awaiting the list of the 15 new ones. This one might have caught Julius by surprise, but definitely not MK. This was orchestrated, is orchestrated, and planned. The question we must ask ourselves now is, what is the next move? And we can all agree that Nkonte Wesizwe Party, the man Jabulani Khumalo, is sitting there as a spectator of death. And let me quickly tell you, Jacob Zuma murdered him. His family annihilated him. And I must tell you, listening to his interview and having spoken to him before, he's naive. He found himself in a cauldron of hyenas. And Chris, I don't think he was prepared for the major onslaught of the Zuma family and the people that was brought into the dark. I think in your interview, surely you picked that up.
I did. Neil, I wonder if we may briefly go to the battle to get prosecutions of people fingered before the Zondo Commission. That is taken another turn now.
Chris, again, I want to be factual. You know, getting old, memory not there, Marcus not there. I want to read you this. I mean, I've just read you a list of the cabal of people now cohorting into a public political party in parliament. But I'm going to read a couple of names. And some of them are repetitive, but I'll put it on record. Jacob Zuma, Ace Magashule, Brian Molefe, Dudu Muyeni, Molusi Gigaba, Anyong Singh, Nomvula Mokoyana, and Gwede Mantashe, Mashele Moko, and Lynn Brown. Of that list of the 10 most powerful identifications of the people in the ANC that was absolutely not vindicated on the Zondo list that said they must be prosecuted, that they in actual fact have a case to answer, and not one of them substantially is donning the orange uniform under Wimpeter. Now, what now is happening as news from the upper middle ground is that the investigative directorate, who was appointed by the president, the same president Ramaphosa of Malapana, who said that the ANC in this regard is accused number one. But now what happened is, and Zondo has even retired in this process, that currently it is rumored that the independent directorate is trying to get access to all the files and all the evidentiary material from the Department of Justice, the Ministry of Justice, and that they are currently having to subpoena, summon certain of these members to get the information. Now, if this is true, and it is true, what a shocking indictment on the continual statements of these people to say that we're going to stop looting, that the current coalition is going to turn, and that they're going to make things better, and that they will have zero corruption. Well, here we sit today, and it's not true. We spent billions on the Zondo Commission, 3 years, more than 16 volumes, and those 10 names I just mentioned, some of them are sitting in inquiry. So a person has to now ask, is this going to be acceptable to Mr. X, to you and I? Is this the kind of leadership that we are just going to accept, that we are going to say is now the apex standard of leadership? And it cannot be. And that is why this canoe is going to have to get out and start saying there are certain parameters that we need sorted out before we can sit back in the next 5 years. And I'm sorry, Zondo Commission is one. And we have to charge them. We have to bring them to book. And we have to have justice right. Otherwise, this is a farce. And we are just going to perpetuate that if you've done, no matter what you are, you can be described as a political leader in this Republic of South Africa. No, no, not on my watch, not on your watch, and surely not on the million people's watch that are the normal citizens.
Quite new. I wonder if I could take you regionally to a very interesting person, Ibrahim Traore, the youngest serving president in the world, and he's fast becoming the poster boy for self-sufficiency in Africa. Is he the leader of the African revolution? He's turning down IMF loans, so he's saying no to the West. He's turning down support from Wagner, Russian-backed. He's saying no to the East. What do you make of him?
I think it's a romantic innuendo. I think, let's say this is real, because seemingly it is. A young captain in the military of Burkina Faso, taking over, obviously, the military coup, but immediately saying that all members of parliament will get a 60% slash on their salary, and that he will not take a presidential salary, but he will remain on the salary scale of a captain in the military. Secondly, when the dogs of war, let's call them the wild geese, came in, Wagner being one of them, absolute mercenary dogs of war, and asked, can they maybe assist? He said,
keep him in power.
No, thank you. Keep your claws where you are. Secondly, he goes to international meetings in his combat uniform. And I laughed because he even kept his combat gloves on, shaking leaders' hands. He went in his fatigues. And secondly, the IMF, knowing the wealth of Burkina Faso, goes there with the president of France, because they are an ex-French colony. And he tells both of them, the IMF and the previous colonizer, to go to hell. But it comes in so hard that in actual fact, they start closing offices. So here's a young man, and I don't endorse all of the scenarios, but let me quickly tell you, this man decided there's no question he's going to be a dictator. But he went to ground. He met the people, and the people agreed. When he asked to renew his leadership for another 5 years, remember, this is a guy in military uniform that took over the democracy, that expelled all the people in parliament, the country said, we want you for another 5 years. So, I don't know. But I think that he's not wrong in his attitude. It's time that people in their own vested country stop relying on the West, stop relying on the woke ideology, he stopped becoming this absolute liberal synopsis of ideology that we cannot stand on our own. But let me quickly tell you, Chris, for a country to say no to the World Bank, the IMF, the West, and that scenario, it takes rugby baller. It takes every kind of playable ball to get up and say, no, no, we have our own gold, our own gas, our own oil. And here's the thing, the day that people in this continent, Chris, go from aid and remove that one hand from aid, you're going to hear it here first, to trade. It's one hand, Chris. Africa must stop doing aid. We must go to trade. And we must be independent, self-sustainable, and market our goods. Because damn, if it's not the Proteas, Drikkies, and Ibhoka, then at the end of the day, how more proud can we be if South Africa's president would get up and say, no, thank you. We don't want your help. We don't need your loans. We are going to monetize SA first. So up to this man, you know, I would make him a general tomorrow, but he just doesn't want to. He stays captain, and maybe this is the real African renaissance that we need.
I think we'll keep a close watch on him, how he inspires other countries and leaders. And just to another South African, Elon Musk's interview with Donald Trump.
Wow.
What a viewership. Neil, I don't think you and I are going to match that.
No. I'll never match it.
unless you do something unthinkable, we might. Okay, go.
Well, maybe running with a Speedo naked young campsman each. I don't know. If anybody wanted to see that, it would be highly unlikely. But let me quickly tell you, 2 hours, more than 60 million in the first 5 hours connected. I listened to the 2 hours. Now, there's one thing you must understand. I don't care what you think of Donald Trump. I don't care if you're pro him or anti, but he has become the master of insults. I mean, this man insults you, and not only insults you, but makes it so popular that other people the next day start using your insults. So he called her Laughing Camilla. He says because she laughs at everything. He called him Sleepy Joe. And everybody concurred. And don't forget when he was fighting Hillary Clinton, he called her Crooked Hillary. And immediately the next day, they never referred back to Hillary Clinton. They said Crooked Hillary and Sleepy Joe and Laughing Kamala. He's very good at that. And the whole 2 hours, he couldn't help himself but call people stupid, idiots. And he got away with it on the basis of saying that, you know, if he didn't turn his head to look at a chart about immigration, he would have been dead. So it is a sign from God. This is verbatim. It is a sign from God that he has to focus much more on immigration. So, what a stark reality. What did they get from it? Let's end there. What did Elon Musk gain from it? And what did Donald Trump take away from it? Because this was done for a reason. My opinion, Elon Musk, maybe the richest human being on earth, gained extra support in what he is and whom he is. Not that he needs it. Secondly, I noted there's a couple of opinions from Elon that shadowed through the questions he was asking Donald Trump. And some of it was bordering on saying, when we do the space program, we need more endorsement and more authority. Secondly, when we speak about renewable energy, we need to ensure that America becomes the authority on renewable energy, Tesla. And thirdly, he was going into the debates, which is very odd, about medicine. And modern medicine. And there was a 10-minute debate between Elon and Donald about certain medication banned in America but approved in Europe. Why would he say that? So watch the space. if Donald Trump becomes president, you are without a doubt going to see a closer relationship between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. That's my
And Musk very subtly put his wish list on the table there. And so Donald knows what he has to do to say argue, thank you for that interview.
I would argue not so subtle. Yes.
Well, thank you. That was Neil DeBeer, the president of the United Independent Movement, taking Biz News viewers through local, regional, and international politics on his Sunday spot. Thank you, Neil.